Good morning.
Good morning.
The New Testament lesson this morning is from the second chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 21, and may be found on page 119 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them all, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. 'In the last days it will be,' God declares, 'that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" These are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Pentecost. God's promises. His promise to always be with us. His direction and command to the disciples to wait until the Father would send to them. When he ascended 10 days prior to this, he said, "Wait." Well, is that a tough one to do? We want it, and we want it now. No, actually, we wanted it yesterday so that we enjoyed it yesterday, and we're really going to enjoy it today. We are so impatient. We want things, and we want it now. But God tells us to wait. Why? Do you think the apostles were any more ready 10 days later? No, but the point is, it was God's time. God sets the time. They asked him in the first chapter of Acts, Luke, the writer of both the Gospel of Luke and the writer, as we understand, of Acts, told us in that first chapter that the disciples were asking him that, Is it now? Is it today? And he said, no. And he's affirmed many, many times that no one knows, not even the Son. The point is, God sets his timing. God does things when He wants to. Now, you and I can appeal to Him through prayer, through supplication, through petition, to change His mind, to move things up. But God's going to do what God's going to do because, well, frankly, He has a better view of everything than you and I. Hallelujah for that. But on the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place. Now, some readings say actually in a house. But other readings say in one place. Now, was it in a house where the disciples were? Was it in a room like the upper room where they were? We don't know. But it says they were gathered in one place. And we know that what's happened, because this is following this celebration where most of the Jewish people around the world had come to Jerusalem to celebrate. They were there for Passover. 40 days later, there's another celebration. 50 days later, another. They're continuing in a celebration. So there are a lot of people, Jewish people, from out around the world. And I won't go through the list. And Suzanne, you did a very good job of pronouncing all of those. Some of those are tongue twisters. But the point was that started in a position and went from east to west, essentially covering the world, the known world at that time, speaking about people from every walk of life, adding to the fact of this miracle that happens. Well, what's the first miracle in this? That this rushing wind comes in. And what is this rushing wind? You know, is it the breath of God? Is it Ruach? Is it from Ezekiel when he prophesies into that valley of dry bones, and the breath of God breathes life and sinew and flesh into those bodies and raises up an army? Or is it this Holy Spirit that comes into and touches the disciples? And as Jesus promised them in the upper room, receive the Holy Spirit. Tongues of flame rest upon them. And what's the miracle that occurs here? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, glossolalia, speaking in tongues, the Jewish word, the Greek word is glossolalia. When we think of speaking in tongues, let's be clear. If you're speaking in tongues, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that if you're speaking in tongues, someone should be there who can translate. Otherwise, be silent. Because if you're speaking in tongues and no one's there to translate, then you're speaking and you edify yourself. So be clear on that. But what's happening for the disciples here is they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit's given them ability. Now, he goes on to describe that there are other Jews from other parts of the world who are there. And in verse 6, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Now, think about that. You don't want me to start speaking French or Spanish or any other language. I'm not even all that great at English, but people are hearing the disciples speak in their native language, wherever they're from. But what are they saying? It's not the fact that they're speaking in other languages. You know, we've got people in the UN. We've got translators that speak in all kinds. They're fluent in all kinds of different languages. But here's the powerful piece here. And this is in verse 11. In our own languages, the people are saying, in our own languages, we hear them speaking what? Speaking about God's deeds of power. See, they're not just speaking. They're not just shouting out words. They're not just babbling. You know, we know what happened at the Tower of Babel, right? Everybody was one language, and what happens? God says, you guys are, and they're spread off because now they're speaking all these different languages. But here's what's happening is they're all hearing the languages. And the most important thing is what they're hearing. They're hearing about God's deeds of power. And not only are they hearing about it, but they can see it. Because here are these people who, how in the world can they speak my language? They're from Galilee. Oh, they were very well-educated fishermen in Galilee. Believe me, they were world-known. Throughout the world, Peter, Paul, well, Paul was an educated man, but Peter and all of the disciples, all of these fishermen, these people from Galilee, these people who God sets the world on fire through the Holy Spirit in them. Well, they're just drunk with new wine. And we all know in the tradition of the day, the new wine is the bad wine, and bad wine can give you bad effects. No, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk with new wine. They are filled with a burst of the Holy Spirit that you just cannot contain. You can't keep down. Because the Holy Spirit is going to do what the Holy Spirit's going to do, and the Holy Spirit's going to do what God the Father has commanded it to do. In the last days, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Now, it's only going to be to itinerant fishermen. It's only going to be to the well-educated. It's only going to be the people of a certain culture or race or color or creed, right? I mean, God's selective. I mean, the Jewish faith is very selective. But what Jesus does is he says, go ye into all the world and preach my gospel to whom? To everyone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone. But in verse 18, he says, even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit and they shall prophesy. When you hear the word prophecy, this is not Gene Dixon making a prediction, okay? When you hear the word prophecy in the context of Scripture, prophecy is what? A prophet is what? One who speaks the Word of God. So when you're speaking prophecy, it's not a prediction. It's not Gene Dixon saying, this is going to happen. The stock market's going to go up. This is going to happen. So on and so forth. And speaking the Word of God. The prophet is speaking the Word of God. So when they prophesy, they're speaking the Word of God. It speaks of the power and the deeds of power that God is doing. That's what is happening. And why? Why? You know, the beauty that occurs here is it's communication. And it's communication on a God level, on a level in which each and every one of you hears and understands exactly what God is communicating. The deeds of power that God has wrought. The deeds of power that God is yet going to do. The deeds of power that God is doing right now. In your life, in my life, in the lives of all these people that we don't even know yet. That's Pentecost. That's why we call it the birthday of the church. It's not the birthday of the church to light a candle and put it in a cake, and even if it's a really, really good cake. They didn't have lemon pound cakes back then. But I'm telling you, if they did and Helen baked it, we'd all come and get one. One voice. All speaking of the deeds of power of God, and everyone hearing it in their native tongue. No transliteration errors, no transposition errors. I got it. And you know what it is? It's the universal language. It's the language of God's love for us. God loves you. Make no mistake about it. He loves you enough to do this. As we celebrate and remember, Shalom.